You're listening to SBS News.
A federal independent commission against corruption has topped the agenda as Parliament resumed for a three-day sitting week. It comes after a week-long interlude to honour the death of Queen Elizabeth II. The highly anticipated legislation faces its first test as it goes to the Labour caucus on Tuesday and to be introduced to Parliament the following day. Attorney General Mark Dreyfus says the government will have no say in what or who the commission can investigate.
The Australian people believe in integrity. The Australian people voted for a government which will deliver a powerful, transparent and independent National Anti-Corruption Commission. The Commission will have jurisdiction to investigate serious or systemic corruption and will form a central pillar in the integrity framework of our country. It'll help restore trust and enforce standards of integrity and accountability in our federal government system.
Crossbench MPs and senators say they won't be rushed into supporting the new anti-corruption body and will instead be pushing for a model of best practice. A joint statement from 13 independents and the Greens outlines six key areas it says will form the necessary support infrastructure for a successful commission. They include stronger whistleblower protection and funding transparency. A whistleblower is a person who reveals information about activity within a private or public organisation that is deemed illegal. Greens Senator David Shoebridge says his party wants the most powerful, broad-ranging federal regulator possible.
We want to make sure that there's jurisdiction there for the ICAC to not just get corporations that contract with the government, but get corporations that are trying to make billions and billions of dollars from changing government policy or getting discretionary decisions like a coal mine approved. They need to be roped into the jurisdiction, and this needs independent funding. We can't have the government of the day starving it of funds so it can't do its job. There needs to be a multi-party committee that is basically setting the funding for this commission.
Meanwhile, the Albanese government is preparing to hand down its first budget next month. Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers has described the upcoming financial statement as a bread-and-butter budget, meaning basic or ordinary, and will focus on spending cuts and easing the cost of living pressures. The Treasurer has not ruled out wide-ranging tax reform to improve the sustainability of the budget, but says making multinational corporations pay a fairer share of tax is the top priority. Speaking during question time, Mr. Chalmers says Labor is trying to shift away from a legacy of wasteful budget spending passed on from the former government.
The task of the budget will be to provide responsible cost of living relief that has an economic dividend. And that's why cheaper childcare is so important with an economic dividend. Cheaper TAFE fees, cheaper medicines, getting wages moving again, beginning with the lowest paid Australians. That's why this is so important. Now, I think Australians understand that the new government is doing what they can to responsibly provide cost of living relief to Australians. They know that the mess that those left us can't be fixed in one budget alone.
While Mr. Chalmers is speaking of cheaper medicines, from October 1st, new medications are being listed on the Pharmaceuticals Benefit Scheme to cut the costs of prescription treatments. It includes those targeting stomach ulcers, schizophrenia, epilepsy and arthritis, and is estimated to save Australians around $150 million a year. Federal Health Minister Mark Butler is also introducing legislation that will cut the maximum cost of medications on the PBS by 30%.
There will be a cut in price to more than 2,000 brands of medicines on the PBS. These price cuts will deliver $130 million in additional price relief to Australian households through reduced co-contributions from those Australian households. And those brands of medicines include very, very commonly used medicines right across the Australian community.
And motorists are being urged to fill up before the return of the full fuel excise on September 28, which will add an extra 25 cents a litre at the pump. Leader of the Nationals Party, David Littleproud, says with the excise ending, Labor needs to be cutting other living costs for Australian families.
If they're not going to continue on with this, with the fuel excise, then what are the measures they're going to put in place to reduce the cost of living? This is a cost of living crisis that Jim Chalmers seems to be ignorant to. He said he's going to have a bread and butter budget. Well, that's dead right, because that's all Australian families will be able to afford after he finishes with them.
The Optus breach is also continuing to pull focus at Parliament as the federal government prepares to unveil new cybersecurity protections. Cybersecurity Minister Claire O'Neill is set to announce the measures after she said changes were needed on how companies protect customer data.
A very substantial reform task is going to emerge from a breach of this scale and size, and there's a number of policy issues that I think the public will soon become quite aware of. One significant question is whether the cybersecurity requirements that we place on large telecommunications providers in this country are fit for purpose.
On the opposition bench, the Coalition's Home Affairs Minister, Karen Andrews, and Cybersecurity Minister, James Patterson, are retabling a Coalition bill for a ransomware action plan. It would introduce a standalone offence for all forms of cyber extortion that carries up to 10 years in prison. It would also see a new offence for cybercriminals who target critical infrastructure such as electricity and phone networks, with a maximum 25-year jail sentence. Ms Andrews says this legislation, which would not pass without the government's support, needs to be enacted quickly.
Close to 10 million accounts, data sets have been taken. That is a huge risk to the customers. Now, unfortunately, the Labor government, the minister in particular, has been asleep at the wheel and has certainly not done all that she could do to reassure the Australian public that the government will do what it can to protect them.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will be absent from the week's proceedings as he travels to Japan for the state funeral of former Japanese PM Shinzo Abe. Brooke Young, SBS News.